If you say, or someone else says, I believe this part, but I don't believe that's God's word. Paul is too harsh. He's a misogynist. He's very harsh on women. But I love what Jesus says. That's probably God's word. If you hear that, something is very wrong.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. Now today, we continue our look at 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17.
Yes, we do, Dave. And I'm convinced that this passage will be a wonderful primer for our study in Nehemiah chapter 8. So please open your Bibles and turn with us to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're looking at verses 16 and 17.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He explained to them the things concerning himself in what? In all the Scriptures. He began with the Old Testament, Moses and the prophets, and it's called Scripture, written word, the written word. We're going to see in Nehemiah that they asked Ezra to bring the word, the book of the lots, the written word, to bring it. Look down at verse 32 of Luke 24. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the Scriptures to us? A little farther on, verse 44, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things that are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. That's a slang way of saying the whole Old Testament. He's saying the whole thing. He says it must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. That's amazing. God opened their minds, Lord Jesus. So you have all Scripture here. And it's interesting, all these Scriptures, rightly divided in their context, point to Christ. I'm not saying that the on page 643 points to Christ. I'm saying that the context of what was written from God's Word points to Jesus Christ. It points to Christ. Let me share something from John 5:39. John records the Lord Jesus reproving the Jews because they thought they were saved by the Word and obeying it rather than by the God who is revealed in the Word, Jesus Christ, you see? And so in John 5:39, he says, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. The Word in and of itself doesn't save anyone. The Word obeyed in and of itself doesn't save anyone. Jesus Christ saves. And the Word points to Jesus Christ. It reveals a sufficient God and Savior. It reveals what He has done for us. And it is God-breathed. It's inspired by God. Absolutely includes the Old Testament. But it also includes New Testament Scriptures. You say, wait a second. Some people would say, well, you know, it's only the Old Testament that are the, quote, Scriptures, right? Well, no, that's totally wrong. Take a look back at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. 1 Timothy 5:17. Because you'll have some that say, yeah, I believe that verse, but that's speaking of the Old Testament Scriptures. Well, if that person is willing to listen, share the verses with them. If they're not, run away from them, okay? 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule well be considered of a double honor. That's in context, it's double pay, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. The last quote here is from the Gospel of Luke. It's from Luke. And Paul says, the Scriptures say this. He's calling the Gospel of Luke Scriptures. And so take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3, because Peter is going to call Paul's writings Scriptures. He's going to call them the written word. He's going to call that the written word. And we're going to see how God did that through mankind in a moment. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation. Hey, why isn't God coming and bringing the judgment that he has promised for sin and sinners? Because he's patient and he's saving people. He's patient, not willing for any to perish, right? So regard that as patience, okay? And then he says here, just as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, there is now an introduction on how people wrote the Word of God back in the foundational period, right? It's now, he said, the wisdom given to him wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them these things, which are some things hard to understand, and which the untaught and the unstable distort as they do the rest of the scriptures. He's including what Paul said. Paul's word is the scripture, right? From the wisdom given from God. And they distort it to their own destruction. And so we have the written word of God. We have the faith delivered once for all to all the saints. The apostle Paul would share in 1 Corinthians 14, let him recognize the things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. And so then we have the Word of God, the Scriptures. It is God-breathed. But how did that happen? How did God speak His Word, and how did we receive it, and how did it get written down? How is this brought forth? How did this happen? We'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we don't have time to delineate this passage to go through it, but it's pretty straightforward. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, and the contrast here is the Apostle Peter saying, hey, you know, I want to remind you of these things. He said, we've had some pretty incredible experiences in contrast to the bad guys with their phony experiences. We actually saw the majestic glory. He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. And they heard the Father's voice. Tremendous reality. We had an experience, and it was a true one. It wasn't a phony baloney one like these guys are saying. It was an accurate experience of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. But he says, but you have the written word more sure. We have the word more sure, which you do well to heed, to pay attention. It's what you have is more sure than our true experience. Quite amazing. And then he says, but know this first of all, verse 20, that no prophecy of what? Scripture, written word, is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. Now you got the charismatics who take these things and they have their little meetings and they feel like God is speaking through them, and God's not speaking through them at all. Because we have the completed Word of God. There was a time in which God did speak through those whom He appointed to bring forth His Word, but we have the completed Word. We're going to see in our passage that what we have in the Scriptures completed is adequate for every good work, which means those things that people would say are from God afterwards are not from God. They are not from God. Now, they may be somewhat like it or similar to the Word of God, but it is not the Word of God. So we have men moved by the Spirit of God spoke from God. The written word of God is not men's desires. It never was brought about by an act of human will. That no one thought, I'm going to write this down, and it didn't come forth the way. God spoke through them. It is God's very word. It is God breathed. So then, men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke His word, and all Scripture is God breathed, all Scripture. He doesn't say all Scripture and prophecies at this point. You had the infant church where God was transitioning from the Jews to the Gentiles, His movement of salvation. You had the infant church where it was being built up and it was incomplete. And there were prophecies and there were those things in the beginning of the church. You know, if there are prophecies, 1 Corinthians 13, they will be done away, replaced by something superior. When the complete comes, the mature comes, the Word of God. And so we have that now. We have all Scripture. And so then we see what God's Word is. It's God's very Word. And Paul praised the Lord for the Thessalonians because when he spoke the Word to them, they received it for what it really was. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the Word of God, not the Word of men, but the Word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. And by the way, if you say, or someone else says, I believe this part, but I don't believe that's God's word. I don't, you know, Paul is too harsh. He's a misogynist. He's very harsh on women, or whatever they might say, but I love what Jesus says. That's probably God's word. If you hear that, something is very, very wrong. because Jesus makes it clear, the Lord Jesus himself makes it clear in his word. Take a look at John chapter 10. Now, these people need the Lord. They need to be saved. And if we hear that, we understand more clearly where they're at. You know, that's why we don't need to argue. You never need to argue about creation evolution with someone who's saved. You never need to argue, because when you get saved, you go, yeah, I believe it. I believe God created the earth. I'm not believing evolution. I believe God created it. Or if they had an evolutionary mind, and someone shows them the word of God and they're believers, they go, oh yeah, that's it. I believe it. Because, as Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And it is his voice through the written word of God. John chapter 10, verse 25. Then Jesus said to them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice. If you are the Lord's sheep, you hear his voice through the word of God. Now, we can be hardened to it. We can have sin in the way, but it's still his voice. It's still him speaking through his word. It is God breathed, and we do hear it. And by the way, if someone says the apostles, that what they said isn't true, or what I don't like what John says in 1 John, that can't be. You're from hell if you continually habitually sin. No, I don't agree with that. Well, if you don't agree with that, then you don't agree with God, and it's an evidence that something is wrong. Take a look at 1 John chapter 4. The Apostle John is trying to encourage these believers because they had a defection. They had people who had left, and then they had false prophets. They had false teachers who were sharing things from a different spirit. And so he's going to tell them, hey, this is how you can identify. He's going to talk about that, and within that we gain a principle here. 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, the bad guys, okay? Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen, right? And he says here, they are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world. That's the false prophets. And the world listens to them. There you go. Hey, you want to know why some churches are so huge? A lot of times it's not because of the word of God. We've had revivals. We've had restorations where it is the word of God. Praise the Lord for that. But that's few and far between these days. We pray for it. We pray that God might do that again, where people want to hear his word. But the reason why many churches are so huge is because they're the world, and they love it. And worldly men speak as from the world, and they love it, and they hear it. Notice what he says here. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We, John is including himself with the apostles who built the foundation of the church, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. You see, if you know the Lord, you hear the word of God. You hear John writing in 1 John, and it's God's word. You hear Paul in Ephesians, and it's God's word. You hear Peter in 1 Peter, and it's God's word. You hear Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's God's word. You hear Luke in the book of Acts writing, inspired by the Spirit, it's God's word. And so here, he says, notice this, and he who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We know the spirit behind the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If you listen to the word of God, you accept it as the word of God. That's the truth. You have the right spirit, and you have God's spirit, right? You're his sheep. If you don't, now we know. Now we know where you're from. Okay, so it is God-breathed. It is God's word. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. It is the very word of God. All scripture is literally God-breathed. God spoke it. And now we need to understand it in its context. Like I shared in Nehemiah, the Levites are going to come out and they're going to explain and interpret the word of God so that people can understand it. We're going to see that. And God uses teachers to teach by his spirit, as we'll see in 1 John, the spirit of God, our teacher ultimately. So then all scripture is literally God-breathed. Every word in scripture is God's word. I can say this now, it, right? That's Greg's word, right? I just said it. But I didn't say anything complete. You don't know what it means. But if I was to say, it is a very good day, you would understand Greg's word in its context. God's word comes in its context. We are made in his image. He speaks to us through his word, and it is in context. And it is not up to us to figure out what it means, but His Spirit enables us to understand what He intended with His Word. Like we saw in 1 Peter, know this first of all, no prophecy of Scripture is of one's own interpretation. I can't sit and figure out what I think it means. No, we want to know what God intended. He said, but for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. So we have all Scripture is inspired by God. And now notice back in our passage, 2 Timothy, we have a list of things that God's Word is beneficial for. And this is important because it helps us understand what He does with His Word in our lives. What He does through His Word, because this is Him telling us what He does. This is God telling us what He does, and it's very important that we see this and understand. All Scripture is inspired by God, first point, and then all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. You think of the term profitable. Someone says, that's a profitable business. That means what they're doing is beneficial in a sense. They're gaining by it. Well, all Scripture is profitable. This word, ophelemos, means helpful, means beneficial. It speaks of that which yields advantageous results. It's profitable. It yields advantageous results. So all Scripture yields advantageous results. Praise the Lord for that. Scripture is not only God's word from His very mouth, but it yields that which is advantageous to us. It is helpful and beneficial to us. So many Christians seeking that which is spiritually profitable, they think, but it is God's Word that is profitable. It is God's Word by His Spirit that is profitable. Where do you go for your spiritual needs? Do you go to God through His Word? Now, we don't worship the Word like the Pharisees. We don't think in them as eternal life. We know it points to Jesus Christ. God's Word points us to rely on Jesus. God's Word points us to understand His desire for me in every circumstance. God's Word points to Jesus. And so we see here, God's Word is profitable. It's profitable. It yields advantageous results. And then notice in our passage, there are four specific areas that He shares these specific advantageous results. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Now, there are some versions that do a little sniffing of God's Word and cut out a few words. You may have a version that just says for teaching and then just says teaching, reproof, correction, training, righteousness. If you have that, add the fours in. That is in the Word of God. It literally says all Scripture is pros, towards each one. Pros this, pros that, pros this, pros that. Four things. Distinctly advantageous in an equal manner on each one of these things. Advantageous for this, pros unto this, pros unto this, pros unto this. I think it's the NIV that cuts that out and tries to streamline it, but here we see the NASB gives it its correct translation here. It is advantageous for all these things. 4, 4, 4, 4, right? So what's it advantageous for? Notice first of all, it is profitable unto, towards, that's really the word, you know, for, it's how it's translated, but it's profitable unto this, towards this. That's the preposition in Greek, towards, pros, towards this. And the first one is teaching. All Scripture is beneficial, yields advantageous results for teaching, right? And the term teaching, didaskalia, it means that which is taught. It's often translated doctrine. It simply means, when you hear this term doctrine, don't get all caught up and think it's some fancy church word. It simply means that which is taught. It's doctrine. It speaks of instruction. Romans 15, for whatever was written in early times was written for our instruction. And there's our word doctrine. It's even translated instruction, that which is taught. It was written for doctrine. You go, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. No, it was written for that which we are taught. It was written so that we would be taught it, right? That through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Romans 15:4. The Scripture is where we find our instruction. This is why I go crazy when I hear these shows on TV about marriage problems, kid problems, all these Christian shows, and they don't share the Word of God. It drives me nuts because this is what is profitable to be taught. It's the Word of God that is profitable for us in those things. It is the Word of God. All Scripture, written Word, is profitable for teaching, profitable for our instruction. Now, we need to remember that that's the Word of God rightly divided, because there are doctrines of men, teachings of men. There are doctrines of demons, teachings of demons. There are sound, healthy doctrine, like we see, and there is unsound, unhealthy doctrine. It's the teaching that is not brought forth rightly. It is not accurate. It is unhealthy. It is unsound. So, but here it's speaking of teaching brought forth rightly. You see, there's a lot of wicked teaching out there, doctrines of demons, man, taught as though they're actually the doctrines of God. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Bad guys come out, teach it as though it's God's teaching, but it's not. Got to be careful. Need to be a Berean. Need to check into it, see that it's so. You know, need to be yielded. If you got sin in your life and you're coming to the Word with the wrong desire, you'll get taken. If you come to God and the Word for your own desire to fix you up for your will only, not to be what He wants you to be, then you're going to get taken for a ride. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. 1 Timothy 4. Look at that. Go back to 1 Timothy 4. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith. That means they were identifying with those who trust in Jesus. The faith, right? They identify, but they're going to fall away from the faith. And notice what happens here. Fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. You know what? Don't pay attention to that stuff. It's going to take you on a ride you don't want to go on. Deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons. Now, he's going to explain what some of these doctrines of demons are. You'd think they're talking about witchcraft and Satanism. Well, no, look at what he says here. It's satanic, but it's much more deceitful. He says, by means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage advocate abstaining from foods. Doctrines of demons. You, if you don't get married, you're going to be more holy. You, if you eat certain foods, you're going to be more holy. You're going to be like Jesus. You know, there's this certain diet. It's what Ezekiel used. Do that. You're going to be more holy if you do that. Now, if you want to eat Ezekiel bread and whatever it is, have at it. The Lord says it's all good, okay? But if you think you're going to be more holy through that, that is a doctrine of demons. And these people shipwreck their faith. Notice what he says. Advocate abstaining from foods for which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by the means of the Word of God and prayer. In pointing out these things, that's the doctrines of demons, to the brethren, that's who he's talking to, will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and sound doctrine which you've been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, today as you concluded, we saw that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine or that which is taught.
Yes, Dave, indeed, the Word of God, the Scripture alone, is what we are to teach and be taught. So let me ask you, what kind of church are you in? Are you being taught the Word of God faithfully? Is it the Word of God that is being used in every aspect of the church? If not, something's wrong, because the church is the pillar and support of the truth, and we are equipped by the Word of God only for every good work. Well, again, we're not done with this passage yet, so join us tomorrow as we conclude our look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.